Please be seated. I have found myself recently thinking a lot about the fact that in a couple of months, I will have been the rector of this parish for 10 years. Now, I am a priest who still believes in that thing called God's call, so I didn't come here with any plan for how long or how short I would be here. But it's still hard to believe that it's been 10 years. And I guess when a milestone like a decade comes about, it just causes you naturally to reminisce a little. I remember my first Sunday here, knowing really no one except the folks on the search committee and some of the vestry, and I walked into the offices to get vested, and I was greeted by a flood. A toilet in the back had overflowed and had been running for God knows how long, and the whole office area was flooded. It was a foretaste, I'm afraid, of a time when seemingly every day something was found broken or needed to be fixed. You had to be here to believe it. Our facilities were in bad shape. About a quarter of the shingles were missing from the roof, and because the finances had been patched to the point that it looked horrible and was barely functional. I remember so clearly my first 8 o'clock service here. I'd come from a small parish in Alabama that had only one service, and it was always right to what we do at the 10:30 service. Of course I knew about right one. I realized I'd never actually officiated a right one service. And I can remember like it was yesterday, walking down that aisle for the first 8 o'clock service and thinking to myself, I probably should have looked over this before now. My first day in the office, I was informed that I had 6 meetings for architectural presentations for a building program I knew very little about. I would have seen that on my email, but unfortunately the computer in my office didn't work. I was informed by Dick Brown, our bookkeeper, that we had less than half of what we needed in pledges for the coming year. And I truly was tempted to go back and look at the parish profile to see if any of it were actually true. But in looking back, I also think about so much joy. I think about the joy that I've had helping to mend a relationship with Holy Nativity School that had deteriorated for reasons best left in the past. And I also think about so many wonderful people whose paths have crossed with my own over these years. I actually looked it up this week, and we've had 346 new members in the past 10 years. And that's incredible. And while some of those people may not have stayed long, most have, and many are in this building this morning. Now, if I could just figure out how to get them all to church on a regular basis. I've had the joy of baptizing 83 people into the kingdom of God, celebrating 32 weddings, some of whom are still married, rejoicing at 96 confirmations, and grieving with 56 families as we commended their loved one to God. Some of it seems so long ago, but some of it seems like just yesterday. But look at us now. Look at us now. And when I say us, I really do mean us. What's happened in the last 10 years is not because of me, but because of a true and sacred commitment by everyone here to the kingdom of God in this place that we call home. And the belief that just maybe the world and God's kingdom needs a place like us. Look at our facilities. They are beautiful and second to none. I think about so many who made that happen. So many on the planning committees, and especially Tom Ledman and my wife, who donated their time and their talent as a ministry to make all of this possible. And of course, to all of you who made a commitment to the future of this church, to the future of our children, saw a need and contributed to a capital campaign so that we could pay for it. I look at the ministries happening now in this place that weren't happening when I first got here, both public and behind the scenes. We all know the incredible effort and resources that go put toward our Backpack Buddies ministry. But remember, children who might go without are being fed because of what you do here. I see the effort and the gratitude of what we do feeding the hungry at Supper at Grace. I continue to be amazed at what happened just this past year over the holidays when a family of five children with working parents who had lost their home in a fire were given a temporary free home because of us, with beds and furnishings and clothing that you helped gather. And those five children were provided with every single thing on their Christmas list because of you. Every single person in a local nursing home were given Christmas gifts because of you. We collected a truckload of boxes for Operation Christmas Child. The youth group gathered and delivered 30 similar boxes to the kids at Anchorage Children's Home. Pajamas, books, and gifts were donated to their Advent pajama party to the rescue mission. Through specific donations to me, I was able to financially help a person who had taken over the care of her mother who had had a stroke. We were able to purchase coats, gloves, and socks that were given away to those in need at Supper at Grace. Some folks who work hard but just struggle to make ends meet were given some unexpected help, and I was able to pay off the layaway at Kmart for a single mother that allowed Santa to visit her children. And that was all just in 1 month. That doesn't even include what is done throughout the year here. Our Steak and Bake provides funding for Wilmer Hall Children's Home. I literally can't tell you of all the things I'm able to do because of the discretionary fund that's provided by you. I've been able to keep the power on for some. I've made mortgage payments for others. I bought groceries, you name it, through that fund. And there are so many more unique and individual things that are done throughout the year by this parish, both collectively and individually. The Feed My Sheep Committee met again last week and cooked a number of casseroles that are used for folks of our number who are in need or ill or homebound. There are so many sitting here this morning who are so diligent in caring for our own number, either financially or with groceries or with transportation or just checking on each other or just being a listening ear and a shoulder to lean on. I thank God that we are living out the challenge of Jesus Christ, that what we do unto one of the least of these, we do for him. You see the tremendous commitment by so many to a greater knowledge of Scripture, to our faith, to our understanding, through our educational programs like EFM and Father Tom's Sunday School and his seminars. I see people of prayer through the Mary Martha Circle and the Daughters of the King and the services they provide. I see this parish serve the larger church and hosted an incredible diocese convention a couple of years ago, one that just last week, another clergy person in this diocese called the gold standard of diocesan conventions. I see the largest, most active youth group led by Andrew that I've ever seen since I've been here. I see kids literally everywhere being led and learning from their Pied Piper Beverly. I see joy in worship. You only needed to be here last Sunday to understand that, where John's incredible prelude received applause. I've never heard that before. And where the incredible offertory offered by Stacy and Mary Ellen was met with this holy and awe-inspiring silence. And just wait till you hear them today. A visitor here last Sunday, probably in her 80s and a lifelong Episcopalian, told me afterwards that in all her life, she had never experienced such an atmosphere in the Episcopal Church. And I haven't even mentioned Wednesday nights. Oh, my Lord. I know what we do here on Sundays is important, but Wednesday has become my favorite day of the week. The presence of God in this place on Wednesdays is palpable, and it can't be explained. It can only be experienced. And I see a parish that is perhaps in the most solid financial position it's ever been in, thanks to good stewards and good leadership from folks like Kathy and Mark and James and the vestry. And there's so much more. But if I began to mention it, we'd be here all afternoon. And I know we don't want that. with everything orchestrated like a maestro by Madge, who keeps it all in line and keeps it all going. All because when Jesus has knocked on the doors of our lives, we have opened that door with joy and let him in. This is an incredible place. So what does this have to do with St. Francis Day and our readings for the day? Nothing. It happens every October, and I imagine you knew it was coming, and I'm not talking about anything to do with college football. Instead, I'm talking about stewardship. That wonderful season when it's my job to talk about things like money and budgets for the coming year, and of course to have the obligatory stewardship sermon. But as I've told you before, after all these years, I don't have anything left to say about stewardship. We are among the most blessed people in the history of the world, and we are commanded by God to give back. To give back with grateful hearts, to give of our first fruits, not what we think we can afford, but first fruits for the betterment of God's kingdom and for the greater good. And those are not my words, but God's. And we either believe them or we don't. You're going to receive pledge cards in the mail next week, or they'll be on the table in the back. Prayerfully consider your pledge for next year. It is not a contract, but a means by which we make plans for all the wonderful things that happen here and are happening here in God's name. Because, folks, what we do here matters. What happens here for many makes all the difference in the world. Now, I know I've used this illustration before, but for me, it's a profound one. It's a story about Helen Keller, and it was found in one of the biographies about her. And according to the story, she was being interviewed by a reporter in England. And the reporter asked her, "Miss Keller, I cannot imagine anything more horrible than losing one's sight." She immediately replied, "Yes, sir. There is something more horrible than losing one's sight. It's when you lose your vision." May we never lose our vision here. We may not have a biography written about us, but we write our own autobiographies every single day. Here, our checkbooks and our calendars. This is the story of our lives. How much is this place a part of your life? A very wise man that I know, who publishes a blog every morning, wrote this last week about this place. It took 50 years, but somehow slowly, over the past 10 years, especially on Wednesday evenings, this church we helped start 60 years ago has become the kingdom of God, or as Matthew has it, the kingdom of heaven. Whoever comes needn't be concerned about saving themselves into some future heaven. This is it. You walk down the aisle into the kingdom of God right here. My friends, that's true. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here, and I am grateful to be a part of it. The kingdom of heaven is here among us. And may we never, ever settle or just being a church. God love you. Amen.